Now, as we start talking about kids and money, teaching children about money, I can't think of a better person to teach you about children and kids and money than a Ramsey kid. So I want to bring to the stage to have her do this, my daughter, Rachel Cruz.
When you were younger, did you have a birthday where you wanted just one specific gift? You didn't care if you got anything else, but you just wanted that one thing. Well, for me, that was on my 6th birthday. And I can remember sitting on the living room floor, and I had opened up all my gifts. There was wrapping paper and boxes, and I had one gift left. And I can remember just praying in my little 6-year-old voice, God, let it be her, let it be her. And I go down and open the last gift. And as I'm tearing open the paper, there are two bold words, American girl. And if you've had a 5 or 6-year-old little girl in your house recently, you know that gives them oxygen. I mean, that's like life in a box to a little girl, right? An American girl doll. And I got her out and I was freaking out, you know, dancing around. I had her and was yelling, being very dramatic because I am my father's daughter in that way. But then I looked back in the box and there was something else. And I looked, and it was an American Girl doll magazine. And as I'm flipping through this on the living room floor, this whole new world just opens before my eyes. And there's other dolls, and they have clothes, and they have furniture. And I'm the spender of the Ramsey family, so I'm definitely one that's like, I want. And so I took the magazine at 6, and I was like, look at all this stuff, Mom and Dad, let's get more. And they said, very bluntly, Rachel, we do not have the money to go pay for all of that American Girl doll stuff. No, play with your doll. Happy birthday, little 6-year-old. And then later that afternoon, Dad came over to me and he said, hey, Rachel, I have an idea. And so we got into the car and we drove to the local flea market. And we were getting out and we were walking around. He said, okay, Rachel, if you see any kind of doll furniture that you like, tell me. And I said, okay. So I remember holding his hand and we're walking through, and over in the corner, I see a white wicker doll set. And I said, Dad, look over there, look at that. And he said, okay, Rachel, I'm gonna go over and talk to the man who's selling it, and I'm gonna get it for less than what he's asking for. And that's called bargaining. Say bargaining, bargaining. And we walked over there, true story, and I don't remember what was said or anything, but there was, you know, they were talking, cash was exchanged, and the man put the furniture into a big black bag, and we walked away. And I said, Dad, did you do it? He said, oh, yeah. He was asking 50, and I got it for 35. And I thought, my dad is the coolest. And I still have that white wicker doll set. And this is really just a symbol of really what Mom and Dad did with us as kids, of how we learned how to handle money. Mom and Dad were so gracious with us, taking us around and really having these teachable moments, you know, showing us in real life, in real time, how to handle money. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to you guys tonight. I think it's, you know, teaching your kids how to handle money, there's more to that. It's more about leaving a legacy. In Proverbs, it says, a wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. An inheritance, I think that's one of finances, but I also think that's one of character and one of knowledge. You know, my husband Winston and I, we were doing our budget the other night, because we do our budget together every month, and we were sitting there, and for the first time as an adult, I looked down at that, and I thought, Winston, and I told him, I said, we're going to be okay, and not just okay, but we're going to do pretty well, and not because I'm Dave Ramsey's daughter, but because this stuff works. I mean, we are debt-free. You know, we do budgets. We tell our money where to go. You know, we're saving up for a vacation we want to take next summer. We fund our Roth IRA every year. I mean, we're doing this stuff, and it works. And here's the deal, parents. Your kids are going to learn how to handle money. They're either going to learn it from Visa's high school curriculum. You know, they're going to learn it from TV. They're going to learn it from the next reality star, or they're going to learn it from you. Teaching your kids how to handle money is not the school's responsibility. It is your responsibility. In Proverbs, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those two scriptures are right next to each other. I mean, so bluntly, what is it saying? You train up a child and to show them how not to go into debt. It's pretty clear to me. And when I travel around, people always are asking me, you know, what was it like growing up as Dave Ramsey's kid? Or what did your parents do that worked so well? And one of the best pieces of advice I can give them, which is so true, mom and dad did it with us as well, is to put your kids on commissions, not an allowance. And with this, they learn where money comes from. Money comes from work. It doesn't come from your back pocket, giving them a 20 every time they ask, right? They're associating work with money. And in this, your words are powerful. So use the word commission versus allowance. And with commissions, if you work, you get paid. If you don't work, you don't get paid. It's kind of like the real world, and it's good to learn that when you're five. That is what we went through. Now, we have a great resource called Financial Peace Junior that helps parents teach their kids how to handle money. And in that, there's a great tool called the Commission Worksheet. Now, this is like a dry and erase board that you can put on your refrigerator and put your kids' chores on and how much money they make per chore, and they can go through and check off the days of the week they do the chore. And this is just a great tool to have so your kids see it. It's a visual reference. It keeps up with everything, and it just kind of keeps it organized and keeps it flowing. Now, there are going to be some chores your kids are going to do just because they're part of the family. For us Ramsey kids, it was always the kitchen. I can remember being little, and we always had to take our little plates to the sink. You know, we got a little bit older, we had to scrape them off and put them into the dishwasher. And when we got to be teenagers, we were the ones cleaning the kitchen. And we didn't get paid for that. You just clean the kitchen because you are Ramsey. And so there will be chores that your kids will do just because they're part of the family. Now, things like feeding the dog or taking out the trash, making your bed, things like that that we did, we got paid on. But again, there will be some stuff they're going to just do. And as a parent, you can decide which one you want. Now, during all of this, you want to teach by example, okay? More is caught than taught. I mean, I watched my dad tithe. I watched my mom clip coupons. So your kids are watching. And show them how you're living a debt-free life. Show them how insurance works, how an IRA works. I remember being at the grocery store with mom, and she pulled out her white envelope to pay for the groceries. And she pulled out not just one, but two $100 bills. And I was probably five or six. I remember saying, Mom, it takes $200 to feed us? And she said, that's right, sweetie. And when your little brother gets older, it's going to take a whole lot more. And I thought, wow. And I wouldn't have learned that unless she was doing that. And she took the time to show me what they were doing. Now, those are some great ideas, but here are some good mechanics you can use with your kids. When your kids are really young, you can go and get a big plastic clear container for savings. So after they do their chores and you pay them, you can put them in a big plastic container and they get to watch it fill up. So it's a great visual reinforcement. And once it's full, then you get to go and they get to go buy a toy with the money they earned. So you can go to Target or Toys R Us and let them pick out a toy and buy it. But parents, I will warn you that there will be a moment where you're going to get to the cash register and they're going to count out their little bills and their coins, and there's not going to be enough money there. And in that, I do encourage you to teach them a hard, yes, a very difficult lesson. And that is that there's not enough money here, so we can't buy this toy. Now, we can go find a cheaper toy, or we can wait a week. You can do a few more chores. We can come back and buy it. But in this moment, sweetie, we cannot buy this toy. And this happened to me, of course. There was a theme park that used to be in Nashville. And I remember we went one Saturday, and Dad said, you know, you can bring your big plastic containers, kids, and take some money out, and you can play some of the games there. And so we were in the car. We were about to get out. And my sister, who's the godly child of the Ramsey family, said, I'm only going to take out half. I'm going to save the rest. And I was like, are you kidding me? No. And so I took my little jar and took all the money I had, stuffed them in my little shorts, and we went into the theme park. And of course, my personality, I see the first game. So I'm like, yeah, sure, that looks great. And I spent all my money in 5 minutes. And I ran out and I looked at her. I was like, can I have some of your money? She said, no. And I looked at mom and dad. I said, can I have more money? I need to keep playing. I haven't won yet. And they said, no, Rachel, you're out of money. You're done for the day. And yes, that crushed my little soul, probably. But I learned in that moment, you know, when the money runs out, you're done. But parents, do not, please do not go overboard with this. I was talking to a group of parents a couple months ago, and this mom came down to the front after, and she said, "Rachel, we do exactly what you teach. And my 10-year-old son, he saved up $300 for a game system. And we went down, but he forgot about tax. So when they rang it up, the tax was over. He didn't have enough money, so we left." And I thought, your 10-year-old saved up $300? You pay the tax. Like, are you kidding me? So remember, parents, that your little kids don't have to be little soldiers marching around the house, okay? That was not us as Ramsey kids. So just think, too many rules is just legalistic, but too much grace is enabling. So there is a balance, and you can find that. Now, when they get a little bit older, around 5 to 12 years old, you can advance them into the envelope system. So once they get paid, they learn to put their money into three envelopes: the giving envelope, the saving envelope, and the spending envelope. And this is a great technique because they kind of learn budgeting at a really early age. And also, parents, when you get to this point, I encourage you to pay consistently. For us, it was always Sunday nights. We always got paid on Sunday nights. And, you know, if you think about you, you don't want to be paid inconsistently at work. You know, if your boss says, "Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. We'll do it next week." You know, you don't want that. And your kids are, they're the same way. Now, once they get to be teenagers, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old, you can advance them into their own checking account. Now, this is great. Mom and Dad, of course, did this with us. The amount of money they would normally spend on us, they just put that amount into a checking account. And so we were in charge of taking care of that account that month. And this was great because there's so many lessons with having your own checking account. We got to go down to the bank with them and open it. We got to see it being open. You know, you have to learn to budget. You have to learn to write a check. You have to learn to reconcile a banking account. And, you know, I'm the one that kind of struggles with this money stuff. So, of course, 3 months into having mine, I bounced 3 checks. Yeah, that's awesome. Being Dave Ramsey's kid and bouncing 3 checks is like your dad being a dentist, but your teeth are like rotting out of your head or something. I mean, it really doesn't add up. And Dad made me go to the bank and go speak to the executive bank branch manager and go and personally apologize to him for lying. Because I told him I had money in his bank to spend and I didn't. And that's a lie. You lied. And I couldn't even drive to the bank. I was only 15. And it was awful. Kind of a wound still a little bit. But I've moved past it. But I learned a great lesson because I haven't bounced a check since. A great success story I did have was when I was 16, because Mom and Dad told us from as long as I can remember that we had to save up and pay for half of our cars when we turned 16. So whatever money we saved, they would match. Dad liked to call that his 401 Dave plan. And so when I turned 16, I had saved $8,000. So I got a $16,000 car paid for in cash. And that was huge because with that car brought ownership. I mean, I drove that car differently than my friends who were just given cars. You know, when Coke was spilt in the back seat, I freaked out about it, you know? I mean, it was my car. So parents, I encourage you to do that. That's a great savings exercise you can do with your kids. Some parents make their kids pay for it all. That's fine. Half of it, that's great. Part of it, whatever you want to do. But have them take ownership in that purchase when they're 16. Now, all of this stuff that we talked about tonight, you know, I didn't learn this in an hour. I didn't learn this in a day, money session. You know, I've had 20 years of practice doing this. So my encouragement to you parents, whether you have a 5-year-old or a 15-year-old, to start doing this stuff. Start talking to them, engaging them on the subject of money. Because again, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And that knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree. And I believe that is how you can leave a legacy. And also, teaching your kids how to handle money is great because when they're older, they won't come move back home with you and live in your basement. So it's great for everyone involved. Now, welcome back to the stage, the man who taught me how to handle money, my dad, Dave Ramsey. Thanks.
Yes, I'm a little proud. No question about it, and I should be. Absolutely incredible. Well, she's right. They can end up back in your basement. We call those the boomerang generation. The ones that we threw them out, and they came back. Well, we've managed to avoid that so far at the Ramseys. Time will tell if it sticks or not. But part of the way they don't come back is they have a plan. They know how to handle money. They have a competence level with this. What's really scary is 1 in 7 parents right now in America have a grown child living with them. And listen to this one. This one scares me to death for our future. 1/3, 33% of the men that are between 22 and 34 live with their parents. Wow. I can't even imagine that. That is bizarre. Now, as Rachel said, there's a difference between being legalistic and a difference in too much grace, which is enabling. And the mother eagle, what she does is she builds her nest out of thorns, and then she plucks out the down as the little eaglets start to get of size, and those thorns are sticking them, giving those little eaglets reason to leave the nest. And so we don't want it to be too comfortable, but we do want to be a safety net when our children have issues. There's no question about that. But they need to fly and be free. It gives them dignity. The Bible talks about children being an arrow in your quiver. An arrow in your quiver. Now, what arrows are for is they're to be shot. They're to be released. They don't stay back there in the quiver. They are of no value in the quiver. But when you can turn loose a straight arrow into the marketplace doing ministry, it's a pretty rewarding thing. So weave this into the process. Now, our next lesson is all about cash flow planning. We're going to go deep into the budget process. Look at that thing. It's not boring. We're going to learn how to get control, how to tell our money what to do instead of wondering where it went. And I want you to do your first budget committee meeting this week. Nerds and free spirits unite. Here we go. And get that quick start budget. Start working on that together this week, putting all of that together. And those of you that are single, start looking for your accountability partner, someone to do your budget with. And folks, you got to understand, the Financial Peace University stuff, yes, it's biblical. And sometimes stuff in the Bible, you know, it kind of affects our spirit, or it's kind of almost theoretical or strategic. The way that we teach this stuff, though, is we put clothes on it and it's application. You are literally going to be doing things every week differently than you ever have based on biblical principles. Things like doing a budget, things like working with your spouse, things like singles having an accountability partner, things like teaching your kids so that a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, things like giving your grown child an eviction notice. All of these things. All of these things. So it's not theory. This is actual application on everything. We are about getting you to do things you've never done so that you get things you've never gotten. Take 1 minute and review what you're going to do as a result of this lesson.
Thank you for listening to Financial Peace University, Lesson 2, Relating with Money. Please visit daveramsey.com/FPU for further information. This audio is copyrighted 2012 by Lambo Licensing, LLC. All rights reserved, 1749 Mallory Lane, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. This audio recording is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If legal advice or other expert professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.